is. It's basketball. It's not a f***ing soft sport.
I love it, Gabe. I love it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. Top of the program. If you're listening for the first time, rate, review, and subscribe. That'd be just fine. On the episode today is Julian O'Brien from the Illawarra Mercury. We all know what's going on at Illawarra. The team's in administration. The former owners, Simon and Wendy Stratford, are out. The team is technically owned by the NBL. There's pushes from LaMelo Ball's camp to buy the team. Very exciting time. So I brought Julian on. We talk about the Stratford era, both at its beginning, middle, and end, and the future of the Illawarra Hawks, and you know, the very, very sad repercussions of what's happened. Most importantly, if you're listening to this and you want to hear more, the Illawarra Mercury, go and get a subscription. It's a couple of bucks a week, and it'll be definitely worth your while in the next couple of weeks, is my understanding. Let's go back to the start of the Simon Stratford majority ownership, which I think was not last season, but before the season, gone before that. Were you filled with optimism, or was there doubts even at that stage for you?
I think you go into it and give everyone the benefit of the doubt. So obviously he was in a partnership. He was a minor partner with James Spenceley before that. Mm-hmm. And James up and left the club pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And to Simon's credit, he picked up the slack by himself. And I think that was a bit of a red flag. It's a lot for one person to carry. The club needed to really embed itself in the community and needed the owner to become part of that community. And he certainly bought a property down here and was seen down here. I think the real question mark was whether he could actually, take the club in the direction that it was needed to go. There were certainly some good signs from their recruiting in the off-season, and we turned it as the Hawks next. The young guns, the Hawks Flight Club, I think Liam called it. We had a good crop of young guards, but then out of the blue, obviously a young gun by the name of LaMelo Ball became available, and that sort of changed things again. When the NBL came knocking in and said, "Hey, we want you to take this kid," it was a bit hard for the club or a club of the Illawarra's ilk to turn that down. So it was always going to be an interesting year. As history shows, it was arguably the Hawks' worst on-court ever. So as a fan, that was pretty hard to swallow. We had the GM, across various media outlets earlier this week or late last week, say that it was one of their best commercially. You'd have to seriously question what benefit that had when we end up where we end up today.
Exactly. Let's go back as well. After NBL 19, Rob Beveridge leaves. How would you describe that divorce of sorts, quote-unquote divorce, between Beveridge and the Hawks? Was that a good one or a bad one?
I think it came at a time when they probably both needed it. I think Rob was at the end of his tether. He was looking at a broader opportunity. He certainly had an idea that he might end up with the Sydney Kings and was pretty damn close. Right. But that opportunity disappeared pretty smartly. Mm. As we know, the Kings flipped, and Paul Smith has spoken quite openly about that decision. Mm. They went with Will. That allowed Matthew Flynn, or Matt Flynn, who's been a long-time assistant, come in to the role as coach. And I think the question mark everyone had around that was, we had a rookie coach, effectively a rookie owner. There was certainly a lot of talk about how that would all come about. Flynn was very close with Stratford, extremely close with Stratford. He took charge and had what the royal family would describe as an anus horribilis.
Good one. That season ends, and there's that issue of superannuation in the ATO. Do you mind taking me and people through what was going on there? I remember scratching the surface of that, but what happened there?
There were some issues raised around the non-payment of superannuation, certainly the tax office. There was a lot of rumours around, and the Mercury did some investigation into that at the time. The NBL pretty much tore us a new one for covering that, and said that everything was all good. But we knew what we knew, and we ran with what we ran with. There were certain financial issues that were not properly handled at the time, and certainly we've all questioned over the course of the ownership of Simon Stratford as to whether things are being handled in the right way. The questions of ownership we started throwing out there a long time ago, and flagging that, I think I said in January that I didn't expect Simon Stratford to be the owner of the club for another year. He had another year left on his license. I couldn't have predicted the way that it's turned out this week. Nobody could have predicted the way it went, but he was openly talking to people about the potential of taking over the club a long time ago. We actually threw out the potential of Mello Ball's involvement back in January.
I thought so.
So we first floated that back then. I know there were conversations and I think Paul Smith went on the record with the Mercury this week as well, saying he was happy to to help out with the ownership of the club as well, but that was quickly put aside by the NBL, who were not real keen on that, which I find rather odd, given the various ownership levels of the league owner across the various teams. So their statement with Smith was that they didn't want to see, or they didn't think that it was a good thing for someone to own two teams in the one state. I wouldn't think it matters who owns who, as long as they're doing the right thing.
The question I'd have for them is, okay, if not two in one state, what about two in the whole country? What if Smith was to buy the, say, Adelaide DCs as a total, any other team? Would that be an issue, or is it an owner having two in general? It did seem odd. If it's a good deal and it's a good offer, it shouldn't really matter, but yeah, sorry, do you want to say?
No, I think 6 weeks ago, I think 6 weeks ago, Stratford and Smith were talking quite seriously about the potential purchase of the club, but for some reason things changed and Simon Stratford went very cold on that idea, but then all of a sudden turned around wanting to find that new owner very quickly. And had been including Paul back in those conversations as recently as the last couple of weeks. And, whatever anyone says about Paul Smith, and I think people know from our Twitter interactions, I'm a pretty big fan of things. He's got his heart in the right place.
And not afraid to spend.
No, he's got deep pockets.
Which is good.
He's an Illawarra man, Illawarra local, born and bred, and he hates me revealing this, but he was a Hawks fan long before he's a Sydney Kings fan. There's no question he's loyal to the Sydney Kings. He could have quite easily been a very good owner of the Illawarra Hawks, but I think his future will lie elsewhere, and I think there'll be more to come on that in the not too distant future as well. I think just keep reading the Illawarra Mercury, might see more about that in coming weeks.
With pleasure. Mid-season of this year, Aaron Brooks goes down with that Achilles injury, I think it was. And the NBL there's this push on Stratford to bring in more imports or more help for LaMelo Balls, I think how it's phrased sometimes. Was that as simple as bringing more imports to help LaMelo Ball, or was it you're below the salary cap floor, or was it a monetary thing to it? How did you see that one, Julian?
It's hard to really know, unless you're on the inside of those conversations. But certainly our understanding of it was that, the NBL got to a certain point where they became fed up with the club's delay in being able to secure someone. And then the pressure came on quite intently for the club. And we believe that there were discussions about the removal of the licence if they didn't provide some support at that particular time. So, again, this shows... we'll look to the owner here and blame the owner, but I think the NBL has to have some skin in the game here. Right. I think there's never blame is never wholly and solely. It's always can be apportioned in various parts, and I don't know that there's too many clean skins in this. And credit to at least Simon for being the owner and trying to make it work. But, that import decision, as we look back now, but as we looked at it very quickly at the time, was a horrible decision.
Mm. That was certainly the most obvious of all of it. So yesterday marked the end of the Stratford era, the NBL officially taking back the licence. I think it was yesterday. The record in that time, 17 wins, 39 losses, 30% win percentage. As a Hawks fan, are you relieved or saddened by the NBL taking on their license? How do you like the idea of the NBL itself, quote unquote, owning the Hawks?
There's some things you can control in life, and you can't control the things you don't. The NBL taking back the license and the NBL deciding on what the future of the club is was always going to happen. Mm. If we know anything, as we've seen time and time again, this is Larry Kesselman's league. He will make the decisions that he wants to make. I think they genuinely, they genuinely want the team in Illawarra. There's a lot of talk about Canberra, think there will be games in Canberra. I think you can guarantee at least two games in Canberra, but I think they're genuine in trying to find a resolution. I think what you saw yesterday with the NBL taking back the licence was the path being cleared for the new ownership. The thing that has been lost in this, and I said this on the Hawk Talk fan page this morning, is there's been a lot of chatter on social media about the ownership and who's doing what and who's saying what. But what's been lost on this is on Monday there were a group of people who were gainfully employed who worked their butts off for the club, and probably their pay will never match the hours and the blood and the sweat and the tears and the sacrifices they made for their family. On a Monday, they were wiped. And they were just effectively kicked to the curb. I've heard conversations in other media, this had nothing to do with COVID. This had nothing to do with coronavirus. This was coming no matter what. I think the timing was convenient. If this was COVID-related, why didn't the club just put itself into the position where it could take the JobKeeper support from the government? This had nothing to do with COVID. And there are people here who have just had their livelihood wiped that love the club as much as anyone else and have worked tirelessly for it and had to put up with some horrendous crap over the last 2 years to do their job.
Yeah, no, that was certainly pretty obvious from the outside, and that was the saddest fact of it all. Let's go back again. The team's in Lingard. Paul Smith makes an offer and it's refused. I don't suppose you know what his offer was or why it was turned down. We kind of touched on it before, but do you know what his offer was?
Well, I think the problem was, the offers of help have been made, but they've never been really constructively taken up. So Paul put out the olive branch to basically say, tell me what you want me to do and I'll do it. But I don't think he ever honestly got the books to be able to make a fair decision on what he could do. And ultimately, I think, when you've got the NBL saying we don't want you involved, there's not much you can do anyway. And I think, when happily they would have probably had him involved 6 weeks ago, I think, a lot's changed. Mm. You don't need to be Einstein to put two and two together there and work out, what's happened over the last couple of weeks to work out why. Mm. But I think, realistically, I think people didn't want to get involved. I think outside of Paul, I don't think the others, particularly the other interested parties, wanted to take the club on as a going concern with the current owner. That can't change until the current owner's out of the picture, which he is now. Whatever the rhetoric, I think yesterday was very much the NBL taking back control of a situation that it had lost control of. You can't tell me that the NBL won't want to be involved with LaMelo Ball.
Sure.
Rightly or wrongly, we know, you know, that a lot was done for him, his benefit this year. He left early and in quite an abrupt fashion, which wasn't well received within the community or his teammates. But he genuinely does have an affinity with the place, an affinity with the club, and a very big affinity with the new potential owner. And the NBL will want someone like LaMelo Ball involved in their franchise. You can guarantee it.
The thought of a sort of NBL predominantly run with a LaMelo Ball slice, however big or small, that to me seemed what the kind of road that we're heading down, but we shall see. We own the team. It's a done deal. They were Jermaine Jackson's words. The NBL denied it. Torrey Lavelle taking ownership of the misunderstanding. What was at the heart of the mix-up between the two? Did he sort of say to them, "Well, we've got the team," or you know, what yeah.
He put the cart before the horse. The line that we had in our story, which was 110% accurate, was the documents are with the solicitors. So there are documents in the hands of the solicitors. Now, you and I both know until those documents come back from
solicitors.
It's not a done deal.
We don't have the team.
No, he's used that Australian vernacular of, you know, "Oh, we got it, mate." His American friends have taken that very literally. And of course, when we put out the story, which obviously took it a whole lot further as to it was putting on the table that there was a Wollongong businessman behind the bid.
Mm-hmm.
ESPN and Mr. Giovanni knocked on the door of Jermaine.
Got that line.
And Jermaine ran with it to the point, you know, of actually saying too that, you know, they'll be putting in their own coaching staff as well. Now, that, you know, that causes all sorts of problems because at that point the league didn't have control back of the license.
Mm-hmm.
There were people still with existing contracts who would have assumed that. Flynn was quite forward throughout the season communicating that, you know, "I've got another 3 years here," or "I've got 3 years here." Mm-hmm. Well, now all of a sudden you've got the potential owner of the new club or part owner of the new club saying, "We're bringing our own people." The NBL had a fair bit of mess to clean up. In fairness to Torrey, his heart's in the right place. I think he wants to get this the club up and running. He doesn't want it floundering. He wants to jump in and get things moving. It might have caused a bit of heartache, but I think you've seen some NBL control over the messaging over the last 24, 48 hours. But I don't think it'll be long before we see the new ownership appointed.
Your colleague at the Illawarra Mercury, Tim Barrow, the headline or tagline of his Game On column read, "The NBL care more about the NBA than the Illawarra Hawks. Now is time to change that." Do you mind telling people what you thought Tim meant by that and whether you agree or not?
Yeah, I think Tim's comment was around, what's at the heart of this. I think over the last season, you would have heard a lot of people in the Illawarra question what the commitment was, whether we were all about LaMelo or whether we were all about the team. The Hawks sold out stadiums across the country.
Sydney amongst them,
I was there for that magical day in Sydney, 17,000.
The highlight of the year for sure.
But locally. I'd say the local engagement was, you know, there was a bit of novelty factor around LaMelo, and the crowds were good. The crowds were okay, but it wasn't the avalanche that everyone expected, because really they didn't get that local engagement. I love what Paul's doing with the Sydney Kings. I love the way they are so community focused, so fan focused, and that has been critically missing with the Illawarra Hawks, I'm afraid. You pay over $30 for a half decent seat, or in the bleachers at the Wynn Entertainment Centre, where you can get your family into that kudos. The prices jacked up this season. Whereas we've seen the Kings even cut their prices for the next year as well. So I think that's a roundabout way of asking your question or answering your question. No, but I think does the NBL truly care about the Illawarra Hawks? I think they care very much about their reputation in the States and their relationship with the NBA, and I think that's probably more important to them for anything, more important to them than one club. But I also think that's why LaMelo and his potential involvement in this club will make it too tantalising for the NBL to ignore.
Yeah, interesting. In the SWR Roundtable podcast, which I think came out, I think it was before that win over Sydney on, what was it, New Year's Eve or whatever, and you were with Matt McQuaid and Glenn Saville, you described LaMelo's playing days, or this season, or half of it, like eating a whole bowl of fairy floss. Sweet, but regrettably sickly by the end. Did you say that because his fanfare overwhelmed the team, and do you still feel that way? Am I describing that accurately?
Yeah, I do. I think his time came at the cost of a lot, and you only need to look at some of the things. What have we got to go on? Win-loss record across the season. Okay, he only played half the season, and the second half of the season was a complete write-off. But you look at the way that Angus Glover developed over the second half of the season, and Angus was eating pine for the first half of the season. And this is a kid, and I know he was coming back from the reconstructions, but this is a kid that was on an NBA trajectory himself before he did those knees. I think there was a lot of dissent in the team about what was being run. And I think Liam Santa Maria said it best. If you've got an 18-year-old point guard running your side, you've got something wrong with your side. This is a good league with good players. Someone of LaMelo's level of understanding of basketball at that point, in terms of his defensive abilities, in terms of what he needed to do to run the team, probably should have been a second string point guard in some way. And I'm not saying that it should have been Angus, that should have been ahead of him, but there certainly should have been some more to it.
My question is, what taste is in your mouth today and going forward?
I guess it's a little hard to know. It's an unknown quantity, but all we've got to go on at the moment is the club's going through voluntary administration. That can bring all sorts of issues with it. But if that process is relatively smooth and it's transitioned to a new owner, then great. They've got some good people contracted for next season. It comes at a time when I guess we don't know what is going to be happening with the league anyway, or what it looks like. The time is on their side. If you want to go through this process and come out the other end, now is probably as good as time to do it as any.
Buyer's market.
Very much so. But also, I think the league will look very different next year, if not in the numbers of teams that are playing. I'm not certainly suggesting that, but definitely in terms of the playing personnel, I think we'll have a more Australian look not by choice, but by nature of the environment. I think the building blocks are there. So if the right owner can come in and can take control, then who knows? This club has risen from the ashes before. It's not foreign to it. And what I like about this club is that it is a true community club. It's privately owned, but it is a community club. This city lives and breathes it, and when the Hawks are good, we're good. And the fans, you would not meet a more passionate, dedicated bunch of people who live and breathe it and laugh and cry with the players. And my hope is that for those people that NBL stays around the Illawarra for a long time.
Beautiful. Julian, thanks very much.
Good on you, mate.